chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Talked last Sunday night about the need to walk in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. And so we really kind of introduced three kinds of people that we talked about last week. The natural man, look back at chapter 2, verse 14. Bible says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." The natural man, another word for that would be the flesh. We see the spiritual man, "But he that is spiritual," verse 15 of chapter 2, "judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ," those of us that are saved, right? Very popular today, people say, "No, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual." I don't even know what that means, but when the Bible uses that term, it would talk about somebody that is born again. And then there's this, I think, a sad description. It would be the carnal Christian, and that's going to be in our passage today. The carnal Christian. The word carnal just means fleshy. It just means a Christian that is driven by the flesh, a Christian that is letting the flesh dictate their direction, and that's a terrible place to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, we're just going to read the first four verses. "And I, brethren," Paul speaking through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." I couldn't speak unto you as unto saved people, "but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." Verse 3, "For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Just simple title of the message, the carnal Christian. I have three thoughts this afternoon, three thoughts. The issue of the carnal Christian, the need of the carnal Christian, and the result of the carnal Christian. And so here's just a couple of thoughts. They were acting like babies. Carnal Christians act like babies. And no matter how old you are, I mean, when I deal with men, you know, and I even took it over to South Africa, and so they began to speak this way in South Africa, right? And I, "What are you acting like?" And they would say, "A little boy." And so I think I've talked to you guys about that before, because I don't think there's anything worse. You want to be a man. You don't want to be a boy. You don't want to be a little boy, right? And I know, you know, see Aiden there. He's like, you know, he's making that transition from being a boy to a man. How old are you, Aiden? 12. When will you be? His voice cracked. It just shows you he's riding that train. When will you be 13? Yeah, like what month and day? September. Oh, you're in September, baby. September the 22nd. It's going to be the 7th. It would be an awesome day. But he'll be 13. And so I want to tell you, you're entering into young manhood, right? Entering into young manhood, right? And so it is. Would it be insulting if I said, if I looked at you and said, "Little boy"? Yeah, it would. You don't want to be a little boy, right? You want to be a man. But the carnal Christian, they're acting like babies. I love this. This wasn't original with me, but, you know, you talk about, you know, the three categories of sin: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Here's how a carnal Christian or a baby Christian, and when somebody's newly saved, I say, "Well, you know what you are? You are a baby." And when they're 30, 40, 50, I remember with Don, you know. "Don, you know what you are?" "You know, Don, you're not a baby anymore, all right? You're in the terrible twos." And so it's they're babies. And so we expect them to be like babies, but the lust of the flesh, it would be like, "Feed me now." I mean, you know, babies, right? They're just gonna scream, you know. Lust of the eyes, "I want it. Right?" And then the pride of life, "Hold me now, pick me up now." And I'm telling you, I've forgotten. I used to have dogs when I grew up, but it's been a long time since I've had dogs. And man, I love dogs when I'm at somebody's house, and so I don't think I'm a dog hater. I don't want a dog to live with me, but I'm dealing with this for the next 3 years. This is the most high maintenance, emotionally unstable, golden retrievers, right? They got issues. They have major issues, right? And so he is like so needy, right? I mean, I can't even put my hand invisible. He'll bring his nose up and like, what am I supposed to do? I'm not petting you. And but carnal Christians, we act like babies. And so it's not what we want to be. And so here's another thing. They're not teachable, right? They're not teachable. Look at verse 2. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. It is what you want to be is you want to ask yourself, am I teachable? Am I open to learning the Word of God, right? It's teachability. I told you the three things that I listen for, and I've not heard anybody in this room say this. So if you have, and I promise you this, I'm not here to, I'm not here to go, not teachable, and I'm going to write you off, right? That's not what I'm doing. But the reason I try to listen, I want to understand where you're coming from so that I can better help you, right? So somebody that's not teachable, they'll say, you don't understand. And so I may not. But I tell people all the time, what's that change with what this Bible verse says? Right? I may not understand the circumstances that you're going through, the trouble that you're going through, but you don't understand. And then what they'll say is, I know that. Right? They'll go, I know that. And they're basically saying, tell me something I don't know. I doubt I could preach, 156 services a year, roughly. I know we don't have a few, but 150 services a year. I doubt there's much that you're learning new at any service. But you know what? We need to be reminded, right? So, you don't understand. Well, the Lord does. The Lord does. And then they'll say, I know that. And then finally they'll say, I can't. I want us to trust in the Lord that says this, you can. If God's told us to do it, you can do it. I can do all things through Christ. I want you to turn to Romans 7. It was too long. Didn't want to take you there. I want to take you to this. We're going to talk about this whole passage here. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. So you're going to see this battle here. But then you're going to see the solution, right? The solution. And then Romans 8 goes into walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. Romans chapter 7, verse 14, he says, for we know that the law is spiritual. Romans 7, 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. It is, I'm in this flesh, is what he's saying. I'm carnal. I'm in this flesh. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. This is the battle. This is the battle between the flesh and the spirit. Let's read verse 15 again. It's, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. And here's why. What he's trying to say this. I'm not really my point being here. But I don't want you to get confused. There was this thought that the law was bad. The law was given that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty. The law was given that says, you have a problem. I think I've told you this before. One of the things that happens with addiction is the prefrontal cortex of your mind, which is the braking system. It's, so if you're walking through the woods and you see a stick and you jump back because you think it's a snake, that's God-given. It's like, whoa, be careful. Well, what happens, they've done studies and there's more studies going on with social media, so I don't know those yet, but studies with cocaine addicts or any other kind of addicts, their brain response is the same. Less blood flows through your braking system. And so when you repeat sin, you reduce your ability or your God-given response mechanism to say, you shouldn't do that. And so he says, that's the flesh. So verse 16, the law, it's good. The law, it's good, that says, shouldn't do that. It's good, right? Verse 16, look at verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good, because I'm aware of it. Verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So it's not that Paul is not taking responsibility, but you must understand, it's when the Bible speaks of this, if you're saved, the new man, the new woman, the new you, the spiritual you is perfect. And so it's your flesh that is still sinful and you're responsible for it. It's not really you. Because when Jesus said, if you believe in me, you shall never die. Well, your flesh is going to die, but that's not you. You're responsible for your flesh. And so this is what we are. We need to grow up and then manage this flesh and do this. But look at verse 17. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, and he clarifies, that is in my flesh, which is really not me. That's what he's saying. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You must understand this. This is so important for us to understand this. So Alberto told me this, and it didn't surprise me. I expected this, but I was praying. I talked to Deb about this yesterday. So Alberto wakes up this morning, and do you think he was like, can't wait to be baptized? What do you think? He's like, I'm not sure about this. You know? So natural when I say that, right? And so Deb and I are praying for you. We talked about it yesterday. Is Deb in here? She's not here. So she's got nursery. I've got a few things to say then. No. But I knew this. So when you wake up, right, you got to understand this. Your flesh was saying, I'm not so sure about this. And Alberto's a thinker. For those of you that are thinkers, right, you just kind of, you just, the wheels never stop. And just shong. Once you get him, but he's learning. He's learning how to give it over to the Lord. Isn't it beautiful when you can do that? But I want you to know this. This doesn't mean that you're a loser or a bad person because you were wondering and you were doubting this morning, weren't you? It's your flesh. Do you see this? Look at this. Look at this. And so, because I probably should. Look at this in verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. There's not one good thing in your flesh. That's why we don't want to walk in the flesh. That's why we don't want to be carnal Christians. Because your flesh never responds well, right? So it is, you know, we get irritated. I'm not responding in the spirit. I'm responding in the flesh, right? Look at verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. This is the battle. It's the battle, right? I love verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would, that would not, that I do. Can you relate to that, O Christian? Verse 20. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Understand this. Until we discard this flesh, or until we what? Die. I'm going to have evil with me. I'm going to have evil present with me because this flesh, there's not, dwelleth no good thing. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I love the law of God. I want God to instruct me. I want God to tell me what to do, but my flesh doesn't. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity, the law of sin, which is my members. And so there's a war. There's a war going on. Am I going to submit to God or am I going to submit to my flesh? If you just do what comes naturally, you're going to submit to the flesh. Verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am. Can you feel this? I feel this. I delight in this. I've heard explanations for chapter 7 that I totally disagree with. This is real Christianity. Is this not real Christianity? Oh, wretched man that I am. Most of my life, I spent most of my life wanting to die. I still talk that way, but I want to die for the right reason now. I'm still tired of sinning. I want to die because I want to see Jesus Christ. I've got to massage that more. I want to die because I also just, you know, I'm tired of failing, but it's this. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, from the body of this death? And here's the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I want to take you back. I didn't print this, but I want to go there. I want to read a couple verses from Romans chapter 8. And you'll see how it dovetails with this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. It is. So I've been thinking about this a long time. Not long enough, but it's sort of like this. What does it mean when the Bible says you are dead in trespasses and sins? Well, so I've paused that and I've said, okay, what does it mean that I'm dead in trespasses and sins? And then what it means that I'm when I'm saved, the Bible uses this term, I'm dead to sin. Here's what I believe it means. When I'm dead in trespasses and sins, I cannot do good. It's impossible for someone that is lost to do good. When I am dead to sin, all of a sudden, it is possible for me to do right, and I don't have to do wrong. Understand this. So to be dead in trespasses and sins doesn't mean that you can't hear the Lord, that you can't, through the Holy Spirit, be given understanding, right? It just means you can't do any good. Now that I'm dead to sin, I can do good and I don't have to sin. But it's am I going to submit to the flesh or the Spirit? It's a simple truth. When we sin, we didn't have to. To say that we have no sin, the truth is not in us. So the Bible says that in 1 John. But I also believe this. We don't have to sin. When we sin, we walk in the flesh. All the flesh wants to do is things that dishonor God. There's not one good thing that dwells in the flesh. Well, what's the need of the Christian? It's just simply this. It's growth. I want to just show you, I think I put these verses on here. Yeah, look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. I just want to walk through. It's grow up. It's grow up, oh Christian. It's grow up. And the way we grow up is we become less about us and more about others. I mean, you know this. It's like, you know, babies, man, they're just dominated with them, right? So it's this, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in the Lord. Grow up. Grow up in the Lord, right? 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And it's this. It's grow in the knowledge of the Lord, right? Some of you, you know, I talk this privately, but every person that I have Bible studies with, so I ask Antonio to pray this morning, right? And part of it is, grow up, Antonio, right? And so what I'm saying is, I didn't say that to him. He knows that I push him. And Antonio lets me push him. And I also think, I thought it was an honor. I believe Antonio saved. He gives a testimony of being saved. I think it's the language gap. I don't want to make excuses for him. I want to see them be faithful and attend and ultimately join and serve. But I think if we have a Spanish work, I think they would be part of that Spanish work. I do. But I took a little risk because he's the second person now that I haven't asked to pray or told them I was going to ask him. And he did. And I figured he'd probably want to do it in Spanish. So I was fine with that. My only hesitation, to any of you guys criticize me in your heart because it's like, where's the interpretation? You should not have somebody speak another language. I think the Lord, I get their scripture says that. I don't think that is the setting. But you know this. Don knows this. Don, when we're done with our Bible studies, I'll say, Don, you close us in prayer. Have I said that every single Bible study since you've been saved? No, I have. Have I skipped some? I have. To your delight. And so the reason why I do that is I want Don to grow up. And I love Don. He is one of my favorite Christians, right? I shouldn't say those things, right? He's got the coat of many colors, right? But I do that, Don, because I want you to mature. And there's a public part of our Christianity. True Christianity is what we are in private. true Christianity is when nobody else is around. Do we care about souls? Do we love Jesus? Right? But you know why I do that, and I explain it all the time, right? It's not to humiliate. It's so that you'll grow in just little baby steps, right? It's grow up. We need to grow up. We need to grow up in the Lord. Let me take you to another passage here, a long one, Hebrews chapter 5. For the time you ought to be teachers. Now this is one of my favorite verses. I think I mention this often. But it's this. You know, I tell everybody this. God expects every believer to teach. You tell me you're saved. You tell me you're a Christian. You ought to be teaching people. And so he says this, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And I love this, right? And so it's good. So Jalea, do you understand the method of my madness, right? Why I have you, I'm teaching Dariana? It's because I want you to grow up in the Lord, right? So you weren't here. So the first Sunday that you came, remember, you guys were standing there, and I go, hey, Jalea is going to have a Bible study with you. Remember I told you that? And you left or something, and she stayed, or I don't know where you were, but she comes back and she goes, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I said, well, you're going to teach her. And she said, I'm not ready. So I agreed. I said, okay, I'll teach until I leave for South Africa. Then you're taking over. And I want you to continue to learn the Word of God. She's scared half to death, but she needs to grow up while she's teaching you. She knows more than you. But I know this. I love, there's a part of it that's humble. But I think there's a lot of it that's false humility. And it's, you know what it is? Baby, suck your thumb, right? It's grow up, right? And so that's why I push you. And so it's uncomfortable, right? But you will grow. What you're going to find is when God commands it, let's delight in it. Let's enjoy what he commands, right? So he says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God, and it becomes such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And so I try to figure that out, how soon is too soon. But the woman at the well, I mean, she started telling people about Jesus right away. I don't know if she was having Bible studies right away. But she told them everything she knew, right? But let's be clear. If you're on the milk, you're unskillful in the word of righteousness because you're a baby. And so I want to challenge you. I love Aiden. He's so honest. He's like, I'm telling you now, because he's probably, I mean, he's getting past spankings and all that, right? I will tell you, probably shouldn't do it. This is probably bad advice. If I wanted to get through Aiden, you know what I'd do? Little boy. Let's be a man. You want to be a man, don't you? I love that. That's a God-given desire. You know what I'm telling you to do? I want you to be a spiritual man. I want you to grow up in the Lord. And I joke with this. I tell people all the time. I go, shpoink, I heard a spiritual hair pop out on your chest. When I grew up, right? Okay, I'm just telling you. This is TMI for the guys. When I grew up, one of the biggest things I wanted was hair on my chest. Okay, I used to shave my chest. Am I the only one that's ever done that? Come on, nobody else? Okay, let me just ask this. Maybe I'm the weirdo. Any guy ever say, I want hair on my chest? Okay, all right, I appreciate that. Ron's the only one that's honest. He said, if I can't get it on my head, at least I can get it on my chest. And so, sorry, Ron, no, it's good. It is, but when I say that, right, so I don't know, it's not all it's cracked up to be, hair on your chest, but it's growing up, and it's becoming a man, and we ought to desire to be men of God, right? I love this. I mean, I tell a lot of guys, hey, you need to do some push-ups. You ought to do some push-ups, right? Because I do think, you know, part of being a man is being the protector and the warrior. But that is, you know, bodily exercise profiteth little. But do you want to be a man of God? Do you want to grow in the Lord? Do you want to not just be, you know, just sucking on the bottle, right? Do you want to be giving people, and do you want to eat meat, right? That's what the Bible talks about. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It's this. We want to grow up. And the church at Corinth, they were 5 years old. They were 5 years old by the time this letter was written, and they hadn't grown up. The things that we're going to address in the book of Corinthians, are it's kind of wild. But what they were doing is they were living by the flesh. They were living by their feelings. They were living by what I want to do. They were living by how I'm thinking, and the thinking in modern times was not good. And so it's then finally Ephesians 4, it says this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? Why does he give apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive you? I want you to know this. The groups that have error, they know their error better than 99% of people that go to churches that preach the truth. You guys knew that when you and Ron were doing that, that you know, however long it was, 2, 3, 4 months. And after a while, it became their stubbornness. But they knew their error pretty well, right? And what it caused you guys to do was to solidify your understanding of truth, and it made you stronger. But understand this. We are here that we don't act like children. Children, you know, we want to protect children because, you know, there's creeps out there. There's people that are after children that can fool them. You don't want to be fooled spiritually. You know, I want to tell you this. It's discouragement is when we are just focused and we are walking in the flesh. It's normal. Our response can be normal. But I want you to see that. I want you to see that discouragement. I need to seek encouragement and peace and comfort from the Lord. You see, because if we walk in the flesh, you're going to be discouraged. If you walk in the Spirit, focused on Christ, focused on His love that we spoke about this morning, then you will grow. You'll grow. So the issue of a carnal Christian, we're acting like babies and we're not teachable. The need is growth, the result of the carnal Christian. Let's just look at verse 3. It says, For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Now, there's division. The result of a carnal Christian is there's division. Because carnal Christianity is by definition selfish. I'm living for me. I'm living for this flesh. And it's going to cause division. You know this, whether it's in a home, in a family, in a church, in jobs. Workplaces spend so much money trying to get people to like each other, trying to get people to enjoy each other. One of the things I don't miss are team building sessions. I mean, I was like, are you kidding me? But it was, and I watched it. It worked. It worked, right? I mean, I've done high ropes, low ropes, medium ropes, and every ropes in between, right? And so, because you know it's expensive in business? Division. You know it's expensive in sports? Division. It's the thing about sports is you'll have a superstar. And if he is a baby, what we call a carnal Christian, he can ruin an entire team. You and I have all seen super athletes that were so babyfied, they were traded, released, got rid of, because it caused division when you focus on you. That's what a carnal Christian. And so it gives us these three things. Envy. And I'm not far from a close because I want it to be shorter. That's why I only picked 4 verses this afternoon. Envy. Understand this. How do you know if you're walking in the flesh? Envy or jealousy? You know, envy or jealousy. Be happy when things are going well for people. Rejoice if God's blessing people. Be happy if God's using someone. Be happy if, you know, it's if I recognize, and it's never to slight anyone, if I recognize somebody, you know, so I particularly want to thank Randall and Rachel for the job they do with the teens. Don't be upset if I haven't recognized you. I want to. I'm thankful for all of you. But see, that's kind of a seed that says, and it's one of the things I struggle with. How do I, you know, I tell people this all the time. I'm one of the most blessed pastors in the United States that I know of. But like if I, you know, because Randall, Rachel, and all their helpers, right? They, an all-nighter, you know, I actually looked at Deb the other night and I go, man, I'm so glad I don't do all-nighters anymore. I used to run all-nighters, 600 teenagers, right? Gerald was my food guy, right? So it was, I'm telling you this, I could do it. I still think I could do it, but I used to love it. It was like a highlight of the year. Man, I'm telling you, thank you for doing it. I think it's awesome. The teens love it. But I was thinking Friday night when I went to bed. I went to bed at 10 o'clock. And I was like, good night. But it is. So, you know what? Just rejoice. And I love this. You're feeling tired now. But don't be envious. Don't be jealous walking in the flesh. Strive. It is, you know, I just tell you this. It's in the home. If I have strife with my wife, it doesn't matter what she's doing. You see, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I ought to be able to respond to everything with grace and mercy and love. There's no excuse, zero excuse. It doesn't matter if we understand it. I am walking in the flesh. I'm being a carnal Christian when I allow strife into our home. There ought not to be strife. We need to figure out how to get along. And when there's strife, go address it and make it right. Tuck your tail between your legs and say, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? Right, you don't have a tail, but I'm, you know, it's a dog. A dog, I've been around dogs a lot, right? So when Flynn's in trouble, it's like, he tucks his tail between his legs, right? So that's where that comes from. But it is, just be willing to say, I'm sorry. Envying strife and then walking as men. It's one of the great distinctions. Are you different? Or when you're with men, you're just like them. See, it's easy to act like a Christian right now. You know why? Because the kind of the mood, kind of the good peer pressure, kind of the atmosphere is that we would honor Christ. I don't think you're being fake. You know, I think it's easy. Isn't it easier here to do what's right? It's easier to act better. Even you know, if Deb gets on my nerves here, I'm almost like, you know, and I can handle it better because of the, and she really doesn't do, I don't know if you've ever gotten my nerves at church, have you? I don't think so. But she knows better. No, it is, but are you a chameleon? Right, that just adapts to the environment. One of the things that just bother me is when I hear about men, and so I'll say men in particular, men that I'm trying to disciple, that I'm trying to help, and I get some indirect information that they're behaving like the devil when they're not around here. It crushes me. And they're walking as men. You know, if we're going to be Christians, who will we walk as? Christ. Christ doesn't cuss. Christ doesn't laugh at dirty jokes. Christ doesn't tell inappropriate jokes. Christ doesn't infer inappropriate things. Christ is caring. Christ doesn't make fun of people. Christ does everything right, and when we walk as men, we just walk to fit in, and so it's good. It's why I love church services. It helps me behave. It helps me not walk as carnal. Helps me not walk in the flesh, right? Understand this. Final thought. It's why I love meeting 3 times a week. It's a reminder for me, how have I been walking? If I have 1 service a week to go to, and here's why I even preach this. I promise you, I'm not preaching this so that, like, it says this. It's like, that's not me preaching to put down churches that have 1 service a week. You know why I preach this? I want you guys to be aware of this. It's, some of you are going to move because we're in such a transient time that people just move all over the place, right? My kids, Florida, North Carolina, and so I'm not saying that was wrong of them to live there. I would love them to be here, but you're going to move. I want to tell you, I want to encourage you, find a church that assembles together more than once a week. And so that's why I tell you guys this. It's not because I'm trying to look out the window and say, losers, you guys aren't doing it right. It's to help you understand this. You want to walk in the Spirit? God established churches not just as a decent idea. It was the answer that will help you do what's right. I think I mentioned it recently. I can't ever know where the Bible said it. 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Have I mentioned that in the service recently? I'm going to tell you what I believe. The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Does baptism save us? The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. It does in that verse. It doesn't save us eternally. Every time the Bible uses the word saved, it's not eternally. Baptism doesn't save. But the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. I want to tell you this. This is why this morning was a big deal. Okay? Now, it's just the beginning. Don't act like a carnal Christian, but it's just the beginning. You know why? You need a church home, and now you have one. Okay? And so you know what? You don't want to waste your life. You want to save your life from waste? You join a church. Baptism is the means by which you join a church. The like figure, whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. You answered a good conscience toward God, and the devil was fighting you, yes? And so it's good. And so, you know, you want to save your life from waste? Be part of a church that'll help you. It's just not an add-on. Let me tell you this. I'm convinced of this. It's one of the keys to the Christian life, to be part of a church, to be engaged in a church, to serve the Lord. Now, I tell you this all the time. Your private walk is more important than your public walk. But if you think you can do this without a church, then you think you're smarter than God. So I love this. So when we assemble together, we kind of agree, but how do you walk outside of this? You want to know if you're walking in the flesh, then you behave like the world. And I love this. I've had guys tell me, they say, I blew it. And then what I tell them to do, I'll go, then go apologize. Go apologize to the lost people that won't understand why you're apologizing. Say, you know, yesterday you guys told that joke, and I laughed at it, and I want to ask you to forgive me, because I shouldn't have laughed at that joke. And here's going to be the response. Man, you don't have to apologize to us. We thought it was funny. No, the reason why is I dishonored Christ. Guys, I'm not better than you. And I was in the flesh. And I let my flesh drive my response. And I said, it dishonored Christ. And I said, I do need to ask for your forgiveness. It'll be good for us to help us not walk as men. Let's grow up. Be a big boy. Be a big girl. And let's teach others. Let's pray. Father.